You are listening to the Lee W. Johnson Podcast, Season 1, Episode 10, titled The Appearance of a Servitor and Feeding Methods. I'm your host, Lee W. Johnson, and welcome to my podcast, where I talk about all things related to magic, witchcraft, demonolatry, and a whole load of other related things. If you would like to find out more about me, get in touch with me, or hire me for a service, please go to my website, leewjohnson.com, or check out my link tree in the description of this podcast. The good thing about servitors is that they are your own creation, and therefore you can actually create them any way you want them to appear. What they look like is completely up to you, but there are some things to bear in mind. When I was learning Kabbalah, I was taught that all the spirits, in this context specifically speaking about the angels and the archangels, such as Raphael, Michael, Javriel, and Uriel, don't have a physical body. They are bodies of energy. Imagine them as a ball of energy, and I believe this extends to all spirits and divine intelligences. The reason why people have given all these spirits bodies or physical appearances is because we relate better to something we can actually associate with. When it comes to servitors, a lot of people give their servitors an actual physical form. Personally, I tend to create a servitor as a ball of energy. During the gestation period, the actual creation period, what often happens is they stay a ball of energy, but other times they start forming into some kind of anthropomorphic form. It can be anything. The last one I created actually transformed into a phoenix. When it comes to your servitors, as I say, you can create them in any way you want them to look. But if you're going to give them bodies of famous people or superheroes or something like that, you need to bear in mind that they come with particular characters and associations. And unless that character and association ties in exactly with the task of the servitor, then it might end up going in a slightly different direction than what you intended. Just some things to keep in mind when you are deciding what you want your servitor to actually look like, even if it remains a ball of energy. If it's a servitor or artificial elemental that has been created from fire, it might be a red ball of energy. If it was created from water, it might be a blue ball of energy. If you're going to create multiple servitors, then you might get slightly confused about which one is which, especially when they all appear together. You do, however, know which is which. There is a certain energy about each one that you can relate to, and you know which servitor is which, but you might want to, just for your own sake, give it a form, give it a natural body, so you can more easily identify them. You see a centaur, and you know which servitor it is. When you're actually doing the creation process, the ball of energy that forms into a body that you can relate to can happen at a later stage. It doesn't have to be decided right at the beginning. It can also take on its own form, but when I say its own form, it's not it deciding what it wants to be. It's more a development of your own psyche at the end of the day. Your servitor has a particular task that it needs to do, and as you are creating the servitor, you might start associating a particular form with the task that it's intended to do. I find that when I decide to create a servitor and it's going to perform X, Y, and Z tasks, during the process of the actual creation, those defined tasks may start to change a bit, because over time we think maybe we should have added this to it or that to it. Things will change. So you don't need to add those things to the task during the creation process, but those things do start creating form and start to give an appearance to the servitor. Just let it happen in its natural way, just like a baby, really. During the gestation period of a human, we all look the same, right at the beginning, when we're just divided cells. But as the fetus starts to develop and starts to form, then we all end up looking different. It's very much the same thing. You know you've decided you're going to create a servitor. You take it through that gestation period, which is simply a ball of energy, and then you birth it at the end. But during that period, it might form into something that looks a little different to what all your other servitors look like. Even if it is a body of energy, you might have a ball of energy that has something a little extra than a plain ball. It may be a red ball with blue streaks or a yellow ball with blue spots. It's really up to your imagination at the end of the day. Each one can and should look different to all the others you create. There are some people who say that forming your servitors into the appearance of a mythical being, like a phoenix or a griffin, shouldn't be done because there is a particular energy surrounding that form itself. I do disagree. Coming back to the last one I created, which took on the form of a phoenix, there's an association with the phoenix which is ancient, thousands of years old maybe, and therefore it has a particular energy around it. But that energy comes into the actual formation or into the actual task of the servitor. In this instance, it developed into a phoenix because its tasks were associated with the process of rebirth. And because the phoenix is historically connected with that association, it became ideal for the servitor that I was creating. I didn't start out with that intention, but as it was being created, I realized the associations, the tasks that it was set to do, and it became a phoenix. Don't be particularly pedantic about it. Don't set your mind on a form or appearance until it's been created. Even after its creation, if you still have a ball of energy somewhere along the line, it starts to develop into a form. That's fine. Let it grow. It has to start somewhere, and as you keep feeding it, it will grow. It will become stronger. It will become more adept at the task that it was set to do. And as it grows, it may form into an appearance that is ideal for its association, for its tasks. Don't be so fixed on what it should be and should do and what it should look like right at the beginning, because change is constant. We can't decide on something now and just leave it that way for the rest of our lives. We have to flow with the current. We have to adapt. We have to change ourselves, and therefore our servitors, our own creations, are also going to change. They are going to adapt and they are going to morph. Once you've created your servitor, you will need to feed it in order to keep it alive. There are some standard methods that people generally talk about and use, but there are a lot of other methods that you can look at. I wanted to look at two specific methods today. The reason we feed our servitors is because if we don't, they start to dissolve back into the energy that they came from. The creation of a servitor comes from energy, which is usually your personal energy or that of the elements. I'm sure that we could come up with other ways to create a servitor, but generally, it's a concentration of said energy into a concentrated body. That body we then program with intent and certain instructions on lifespan, tasks, and how they feed. The general way to feed the servitor is with the energy it was created from, or you can use your own personal energy. You can build up chi and use the excess chi. You can raise the energy of an element and feed it with that energy. There are a lot of different ways that you can feed it. You can use blood, which is always from yourself, nobody else or an animal, only from you. And it only needs to be a drop, and blood sustains life. There are a lot of other methods, but let's talk about the ones I want to focus on. The first one I would like to speak about was in a comment from someone on my YouTube channel, and it's brilliant. It comes from the work of Masaru Emoto. He was a Japanese businessman and pseudoscientist. In 2004, he brought out a book containing images of the experiments he had been doing with water and emotions. The idea is that you program water with a particular intent. And what he was doing was programming different vessels or containers of water with different emotions. He would then freeze the water and photograph the actual molecules of the water crystals. He found that water that was given the emotion of happiness, love, joy, and things like that had a very beautiful outcome. The formation of the crystals, the formation of the molecules, created this beautiful pattern. Whereas if they were given the emotion of hate, anger, frustration, all the negative emotions, then they would actually explode and they would form disconnected patterns that were in disarray, unlike the others which were ordered. This is quite a good manifestation technique in itself, in which you take water and you concentrate emotion and you visualize your intent into the water, and then you take it into yourself as you drink it, and that brings the programmed molecules into your body, which then helps your own body and the intent of the actual manifestation work you're doing. The commentator said that because she was programming water with solar energy and words, she got the idea to feed her servitors. I actually put water on my altar just for the spirits in general, so you can try to use this to feed your servitors. Place a glass of water that has been programmed with the intent of the servitor's task next to its home, and it can then feed on that energy. The other one that I want to talk about is to give them offerings, as we would with other entities. I don't think I've ever heard anyone mention this method. We can give them offerings of food, drink, or even coins, jewelry, or shiny things. A lot of people question how to actually give an offering to a deity or a nature spirit, but there are various ways that people go about it. Some people will just take an extra helping of food at dinner time and put it on a separate plate and give it as an offering to the spirit. The next morning, they will probably take it outside and leave it for the birds, ants, and other animals in nature to consume. There was a post I read earlier last year, I think it was on a black magic forum, about giving offerings and how long you should leave the offering on the altar for and how to dispose of it, things like that. The answer I found to be extremely interesting. The reason why we give offerings of food and drink to spirits is that they consume the energy from that offering. The act of giving the offering itself is an act of giving energy. And then the food and the drink itself has an energy in it. With the food specifically, as the food breaks down, it starts to degenerate, then the atoms, the molecules, start to release energy as it decomposes. As the food is decomposing, the molecules themselves are releasing energy, and so you leave the food for as long as you can. When it comes to a point where it's finished decomposing, or whatever point you actually want to get rid of it because it could get a bit smelly, then take it outside and bury it in the ground. The same thing happens with liquid offerings, whether it's an alcoholic drink or whether you put milk and honey out or even just water. It will evaporate, and through that evaporation process it's releasing energy, and it's that energy that feeds the deities, the nature spirits, the house ghosts, the brownies that keep your house nice and tidy, if you don't keep it tidy yourself. You should though, because otherwise the house ghost is going to get very upset with you. So, why not give offerings to your servitors in the same way? When it comes to feeding your servitors, think about ways you can do it. The whole thing is about releasing energy to give energy, and it's that energy that actually feeds the servitor. If you can think of a manner that does this and will feed the servitor, then try it, use it. And if you think of anything else, then leave them in the comments or send me a voice message on Anchor. I'm sure a lot of people will appreciate any ideas. This podcast was brought to you by, well, myself, Lee W. Johnson. To find out more about me, please visit my website at leewjohnson.com or check out my link tree in the description of this podcast. If you like the video format, then subscribe to my YouTube channel, where I also host a live show every Friday with Rev Kai called The Black Hat Chat. It's just two witches chatting about traditional witchcraft and other topics. That's me for this week. Hope to hear from you soon. Thanks for listening.